This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still moving and grooving right along here as we take you inside the 8 o'clock hour right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Liddell Willingham will take you up to 9:10. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take over from there. We got the Eastern Conference Finals on tap right now. We will keep you up to speed with that throughout the rest of the evening. The Indiana Pacers looking to punch their ticket to the NBA Finals, where they will meet the best young player in the NBA, the best player in the NBA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you were just now joining us, we had some nuggets, some tasty nuggets on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander earlier in the show. Most points in a playoff and postseason, most points in a regular season, a playoff run, since Michael Jordan, more than Michael Jordan. So the most since him, and it just kind of quantifies what type of year he's had. I think it's great for the association that we're getting OKC versus Indiana, because these are two young teams that I think have a pretty significant runway in terms of how long, they will be, you know, perennial contenders. So super excited to see whether or not Indiana can close it out tonight. I wonder if there are any changes this offseason for the Knicks, because, 1-800-636-1067. Guess what I want to get into, guys? I'm about 2 hours into the program. We haven't talked any Washington Commanders. I do want to talk about the Burgundy and Gold. Voluntary workouts for yesterday. A lot was made about who wasn't there. Today, I want to stick to the X's and O's of things. What is more important for the Commanders to improve defensively heading into next year? What's more important that they improve defensively? The run defense or their pass rush unit? Which element of this Commanders defense is more important to improve in 2025? Their run defense or the pass rush? We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-636-1067. I want to take a look at some of the numbers here for both of those units. This Washington Commanders pass rush unit, I think, kind of a mixed bag last year. Right? Kind of a mixed bag last year. When you look at them strictly in terms of sack numbers, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They were tied for 7th in the NFL in sacks last year. Talking about the Commanders. Their sack percentage was tied for 6th in the National Football League. Their QB pressures, this is where things get wrong. Their quarterback pressures last year, 26th in the NFL. They've got to get better in impacting the quarterback on a more consistent basis. Another number that kind of tells you that the pass rush struggled a little bit, their blitz rate last year was 6th most in the NFL. I think if Joe Witt Jr. had it his way, they would have more guys in coverage and wouldn't have to blitz as much. How does that happen? How do you earn that right to not have to blitz as much? Dorrance Armstrong, right? Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Dietrich Wise, Cleland Farrell, Jerzon Newton, Deron Payne, Javon Kinlaw. Those guys must step up. Point blank. If you don't want to blitz as much, if you don't want to leave yourself as vulnerable as you were at times last year in coverage, then the guys up front got to step the hell up. Point blank. Now, this Commanders' run defense was a problem within its own. In terms of yards per game allowed, the Commanders allowed the 3rd most rush yards per game in the entire National Football League. In terms of rushing touchdowns, Washington was bottom 7 in terms of rushing touchdowns allowed. Runs of 10 or more yards, Washington tied for the 4th most runs given up of 10 or more yards. Their run stuff percentage, 20th in the National Football League. Got to be better. Their EPA allowed per rush, right? 15th in the NFL. They've got to get better, point blank. And there's a certain area where they got to get better. Their opponents inside the tackle run percentage was 50. That's fifth most in the NFL. It's fifth most in the NFL. Teams had no fear running it smack at the Commanders last year. That's got to be better. That's got to be better. In terms of the percentage of runs outside the tackles, 27th. So they weren't getting challenged a whole lot on the perimeter, which is interesting because what do we holler all offseason? What do we holler all offseason? They got to set the edge better. No. Not only do they have to set the edge better, they got to be better on the interior. I'm going to run through those numbers again real quick because this may stun you. In terms of the percentage of opponent rushes inside the tackles, Washington had the fifth most in the NFL, meaning teams were running right at Daron Payne, right at John Allen, right at Jerzon Newton. Name your defensive tackle that got his ass whipped last year. They got to be better there. And it's crazy because on the perimeter, right, they faced, what is the percentage? 47.3% of runs went on the perimeter. That was 27th most in the NFL. So clearly teams had a plan for how they were going to attack Washington when it comes to running the football. They had a plan. 1-800-636-1067. I just gave you a couple of numbers. What is more important for the Commanders defense to improve at? The run defense or their pass rush? Let's go to Anthony in D.C. What's up, Anthony? How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, man. How you doing?
You came up with a layup, man. You could have come harder than this. This is football 101, man. Come on.
See, this is where we're going to disagree. But so go ahead.
All right. So everybody knows that in order for the defense to be successful, you got to stop the run to get to the pass rush. Because if you're allowing 5, 6, 7 yards of run, then you just mince meat. They're going to carve you up on the ground and through the air. So unless you stop the run, it don't matter what the pass rush is because you're not going to be able to get to them. Because when they know you got your ears peeled back, right, they're going to run the draw on you.
Right. You got to earn the right to rush the passer is what I consistently say.
Exactly. So this is a layup. That ain't hard to figure. Anybody that come up with something different than that don't know football.
So your answer, just confirm what your answer is, Anthony. Just real quick. You think it's the pass rush?
No, I think it's stopping the run.
So you think it's stopping the run? Okay. I'll keep you on your toes.
Stopping the run to get to the pass rush.
For sure. And I think that is the key. Now, in terms of the moves that they've made, do you really think the run defense will be better next year?
It can't be much worse.
Damn good point there. Appreciate you as always, Anthony. 1-800-636-1067. I like the way you put it. It can't be much worse, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I gave you the numbers. We'll run through them again here real quick when it comes to the Commanders' pass rush and their run defense. The question right now, what is more important for the Commanders' defense to improve heading into next year? Their run defense or their pass rush? Give you the numbers here one more time in terms of Washington's pass rush. It wasn't all bad, right? They had 43 sacks a season ago. That was top 10 in the NFL, right? Their quarterback pressures is where I think they need to get better. They were 26th in the NFL last year in quarterback pressures, meaning they're not doing it enough. They're not affecting the quarterback enough. But they had the sacks. See, to me, I think with an improved run defense, the pass rush naturally will improve. They have to earn the right to run the passer, to rush the passer. It felt like last year, Washington's defense struggled to put teams in those third and long situations. And unless you could do that, I think it's going to be really, really hard for you to have a consistent pass rush. That's why I gave you the blitz percentage number. They blitzed 33% of the time last year, sixth most in the NFL. Now, ironically enough, right, all six of the teams in the top six in blitz percentage all made the postseason last year. Washington 6, Kansas City 5, Denver 4, Tampa Bay 3, Detroit 2, Minnesota, and that crazy-ass Brian Flores is at number one. So it is very interesting to me in terms of what is most important. Because like the last caller said, if you know ball, you can't rush the passer without stopping the run. What's more important to you, though? 1-800-636-1067. Uptown Mo chimes in. Mo, what do you think is more important for this Commanders defense to improve on heading into next season?
Hey, they need a three check like you, Big A. They need a three check in there, or one or a shade, you know what I mean, such as yourself. Listen, you got to stop the run, bro.
Yes.
Like, if you look at the last two games in the NFC, right, in the NFC overall,
mm-hmm.
the Eagles beat the Rams. The Rams is on their heels like church socks. You understand what I'm saying? The Eagles beat the Rams because Saquon ran for 200 yards. They could not stop the run. That's what it is. If David Montgomery is hurt in that Detroit Lions game, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs is still running.
I'm telling you.
He is still running. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
even know why they started passing the ball. So the run game is quintessential for you to have a stout defense. Now, this is where I have a slight gripe
yeah.
with our D coordinator. I love our D coordinator. Let me just say that
for sure.
first and foremost. In situational football, sometimes I feel like his lack of vision. You know how you just said crazy ass Brian Flores?
Yeah.
And I think his lack of
I agree.
Exotic blitzes. If you're going to blitz, that's fine.
Mo, real quick, Mo. Do you agree with me? When I feel like down the stretch, you saw it a lot more. You saw them blitz. You saw the double A gap blitzes coming. You saw them
the
get more creative
jump.
With the front. You're saying it's the same one. Okay. I can hear that.
Yeah, it was the same jump. It's like, okay, you're going to bring double A guys. You're going to – like, all right, so think about the Eagles game, 3rd and 5.
Mm-hmm.
We bring all-out pressure. Marshawn don't stand up to A.J. He catches the go ball down the sideline.
Yep.
Pivotal. And you know, in that particular game.
So you know Lufu got held, though, bro. So it's a whole nother conversation,
yeah,
Mo.
I mean, come on.
I hear that, but it's real. I hear
yeah,
you,
but
though.
You get held every game, though,
for
bro.
Sure.
Like, every play, somebody gets held. You know, you was in
for
the
sure.
trenches.
For sure.
All I'm saying is I need him to bring a corner blitz. I need him to bring safety and drop out a zone dog.
Yeah.
He's coming to your front door and kicking it in. I love that. But if you got a shotgun on the other side.
Exactly. You need to be more discreet, more creative. I hear that for sure. Let me wrap
all
it up
right,
with
bro.
This. Let me wrap it up this before we let you go. Do
okay.
you think they are improved as a run defense? And before you answer this, can I give you the backs they play in the first month of the season? Bijan Robinson, Omarion Hampton, Ashton Jeanty, and Josh Jacobs.
So I don't know if it's Jeanty and Hampton are even good in the league, right?
Right.
I surmise that they are. I know that Bijan torched us until Jaden put us on his back and we won that game. And what was the fourth one? Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs, yeah.
I don't know what their O-line looked like. See, a back is only as good as their O-line.
Very true.
Go and see Saquon in New York.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
A back is only as good as the O-line. So I don't know. And I don't know what the schedule is going to be like because I don't know who's going to be hurt. Just I know this, right? If we put big 300-pounders like Kinlaw or whatever, because Johnny Newton's kind of small.
He is.
If I was a guard, I wouldn't even worry about playing Johnny Newton.
But Johnny Newton was winning with quickness like a mug down there. He played the best out of all the D tackles in the final month, I thought.
Yeah, until I double team him. until I put him to Bobby Wagner's lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you that.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. I love you, boy.
Appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067. Vic is in Ackakee. Vic, I think everyone knows the answer to the question. I want to ask you this. Based off of the moves they've made, how much better will the run defense be?
I don't know yet because the acquisitions we made are not proven
mm-hmm.
entities of stopping the run. They're not proven entities of recreating the line of scrimmage. I'm not going to base it off names
right.
At this point. What I will know if we're a better run defense, if we are, controlling gaps through the line of scrimmage and reading keys, first thing. I will know we are better run defense if we are fitting and keeping leverage
yeah.
where we're not getting out leverage, which was happening so many times last year. so many times last year to where we put our inside help in bad positions, to where we put where we opened cutback lanes, multiple cutback lanes, because of the fact that we were out of position and we were out of leverage. And I will know if we're a better tackling defense. As I said before, we run and hit, but we don't control the line of scrimmage, control gaps to the line of scrimmage. We don't fit well as consistently as we need to at the linebacker position, and we don't tackle well. That's what makes you a better run defense. There have been dozens of run defenses over the years since you and I have been watching football, but we don't even know their names. They became household names because they played defense correctly. That's what matters. And all this other stuff is fluff. It's fluff. The stuff they're going to talk about in the film room, the stuff they're going to talk about inside run period, the stuff they're going to talk about in team period, the stuff they're going to talk about in install, that's what matters to me. In indie period, that's what makes us a better run defense. All this other stuff is fluff. That's how I'll know.
I hear it. Bring it strong. Appreciate you as always, Vic. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. It's interesting to me, man, because it's tough. I'm the same guy, right? In the same breath, I'll tell you, because of the quarterback that you have under center, you are perennially going to be in the conversation, right? We went over the FPI, ESPN's Football Power Index ranking. They had the Bengals as the seventh best team in the NFL entering next year. Why? Not because their defense is good, but because Joe Burrow's a badass, and they know that he's going to have them in the conversation. I think the same could be said about Washington for years to come. But I could also see a scenario where this defense takes a step back. You think about going from John Allen to Javon Kinlaw. As much as you, as much as we, you know, get on John Allen, I mean, he's been better than Javon Kinlaw, right? You go from Jeremy Chinn, who played 94% of your snaps, to Will Harris. I don't know if that's a guaranteed smashola slam dunk to work. I just don't. So it is going to be fascinating to me moving forward to see how things ultimately play out. But man, I hope they're better as a defense. There is one guy that I think will be the key to the Commanders defense next year. I'll tell you who that is next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You're tapped in. The youngest in Charles and L. Willingham will take you up the 9-10 Nationals baseball coming your way at that time as we take you into the evening hours. Keep it locked on The Fan all night long to keep it live and local. Nats playing the series finale against the Seattle Mariners, looking to take 2 out of 3 at T-Mobile Park. Yesterday, a big-time victory for the fellas as the Nats won 9-0. I believe it was, 15 hits, 4 homers for the fellas as the bats were hot. Hopefully they can stay hot tonight. Mackenzie Gore on the bump, and it is a 940 pitch, 940 first pitch. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Wanted to keep you up to speed with the Eastern Conference Finals. Pacers looking to close the door on the New York Knicks here tonight, up 3-1. The series moved back to the world's most famous arena. 4:23 left to go in the opening quarter. Can't fake desperation. Always say it. Knicks down 3-1, playing like it. They're up 10 with 4:23 left to go in the opening quarter. 23 points. 23 for New York, rather. 13 for Indiana. And I think the defense of the New York Knicks, it was something that I wondered if it would be sustainable. They defended their ass off in game number 4 during that ferocious comeback effort that they had. But we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Jalen Brunson, though. Hockey hot to start. He's got 12 points to lead all scorers in this one. Nobody in double figures for the Indiana Pacers. I mentioned it, though. Pacers 4 of 11, Jalen Brunson 5 of 6. So he's off to a hot start. I knew he would play big. He ain't going to come up small when his team needs him the most. Knicks currently on an 11-2 run. What they could use, talking about Indiana, is Benedict Mathurin to come up big for them here again. But we'll keep you up to speed the rest of the way on Knicks and Pacers. I mentioned the Commanders' defense. Gave you a couple of numbers on their pass rush woes, their run defense woes. Who is the member of this Commanders' defense that is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak? Who has to play well in order for this defense to play well? Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore. It ain't a new answer, ain't a sexy answer, but Marshawn Lattimore has got to be that guy in order for the Commanders' defense to firmly, confidently reach his potential for next year. Because as I'm flip-flopping back and forth on if they're improved or not, I don't know if they're improved in terms of household names, but body type, role, that's what's gotten better. Javon Kinlaw, huge. Someone that can eat gaps for you and penetrate and get upfield and rush the quarterback, right? And make plays behind the line of scrimmage. Super Bowl champion, Dietrich Wise, I think brings you a different body type on the edge, but still has enough wiggle and juice to be able to pin his ears back and go get the quarterback. So those two guys will help the run defense, I'm sure. The other guy that I'm interested in, and last caller brought him up, and we've talked about him a lot here this offseason, with the move to move off of John Allen, Jazan Newton and his importance, I think becomes even more important. He's got to have a big sophomore campaign. He's got to. In terms of all of their draft class, like who needs the big year the most, I think it's him. Obviously, people are going to say, well, Jaden, if Jaden doesn't play well, what are we? I give you that. But on the defensive side of the football, second-year guy or not, the guy that needs to step up, if Jazan Newton can be what he showed the potential to be at Illinois, Washington's pass rush will be just fine. Their run defense, he's not a guy that I think helps you that much playing the run defensively. But pinning his ears back, going to get in a quarterback, that's what he can do. That's what he can do. 1-800-636-1067. To me, like that's what he's known for, right? I think he could live in the other team's backfield, have TFLs, use his quickness. But in terms of the Commanders player on defense that they need to play well for the defense to look good, I think it's Marshawn Lattimore, which is why I'm disappointed that he was not in attendance yesterday on the first day of voluntary work. Trey Amos, you don't think Trey Amos could, you know, stand to benefit from learning from Marshawn Lattimore? I know he's got Jonathan Jones in that room as well, but I just, it frustrates me a little bit. Now, the reports coming out of yesterday's practice was that the young pup, Trey Amos, played his tail off, picked off Jaden Daniels, showed good ball skill, looked sticky in coverage. It's all the things you want to see. You just hope that it translates. Because if he can play well, and then it's him and Marshawn outside, then you can move Mikey Samuels still back to the slot. What does that allow? What did Uptown Mo call in and say? We got to get more exotic with our pressure looks. Mikey Samuels still blitzing out of the nickel? Probably the most effective route and effective method that they could possibly have. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's get to Gary and Frederick. Gary and Frederick wants to chime in. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, man?
How you doing? I'm good.
Hey, listen, I'm going old school on you a little bit.
Go ahead.
No matter what, I've been through, I'm 59.
Okay.
60s, 70s. I've been to RFK 1,000 times. Went, saw the glory day, everything. Went through the crap dance, you know.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to Mr. Bobby Wagner.
Yes.
Off the step. Part of the, hey, listen, can set the tone in the locker room, can teach what's going on, can show an example, can show what's going on. That's why they kept him for another year. Look at what he did last year, even as old as it. I mean, you got to have players around that teach. It's not just about how you play football. It's not about how athletic you are. You know, character carries a lot of ways. And a lot of things. Joe Gibbs proved that. Just look back. So I hope they count on that old guy. And God, he's younger than I am.
Yeah.
But you need experience.
Real quick here on Bobby Wagner.
Sure, go ahead.
He played 98% of the snaps last year. Wore the green dot. Was responsible for them getting set up and aligned properly. He deserves so much credit for what he did.
What did you expect from the old school guy that was taught the old school way? These young kids nowadays, they got to do 20 push-ups. It's like, what? yeah, this guy's out here doing 50. Now he's three times their age. Anyway, hey, appreciate y'all's
yes,
time
indeed,
and the show. Really appreciate talking with
yes,
y'all.
Yes, indeed, man. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll switch gears completely, talk a little round ball. Varun Shankar of the Washington Post joins us next to talk about his story on Wizards rookie Alex Saar. We'll also discuss where the Wizards could be looking with that number 3 overall pick coming up in the draft. That is next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Right now, we'll go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show, where we find our pal Varun Shankar, who covers the Washington Wizards for the Washington Post. Varun, what's going on, brother? Thanks for making some time for us.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be on.
So, obviously, the NBA draft coming up next month. A lot of conversation surrounding the Washington Wizards and what they will do with their two first-round picks. Always love catching up with folks that, you know, dive deep into the NBA draft room. Knowing their track record over the last 2 years, they've shown a propensity to trade up and go get a guy if they want him. Do you think that mantra will remain true in this draft?
Maybe. I think it's more likely that they trade up from 18 than it is they trade up from 6. I could be wrong about that. This is a very aggressive front office, but it's just so hard to swing a trade to get higher in the draft once you're inside the top 5, right? And so, you know, I think Philly is an obvious trade partner. I'm not sure if, you know, depending on what Philly's looking for, I'm not sure if it's worth Washington moving up there once you move past the top two prospects of, you know, Flag, obviously in his own tier, and then Harper, who everyone says is, you know, kind of the clear-cut second guy for most. And then, you know, then you're kind of into a weird range with Baylor's VJ Edgecombe, who's this really athletic guard, but some shooting concerns. Sounds like a Wizards pick to me. Ace Bailey, who is really long, really athletic, can shoot the ball really well, but a lot of questions about every other part of his game and kind of his feel for the position. And then after that, it really gets murky, and that's where the Wizards kind of find themselves right now.
It's going to be very interesting. Put on your GM hat for a second. We can call you Varun Dawkins here for a quick second. What do you think the mentality should be for the Wizards at 6 and 18? What I mean by that, is there a player architect at each of those picks that you would prefer to zero in on?
I think it's the highest upside available. This team is not in a position where they can look at positional things in any way. I would be looking for someone, and this is easier said than done, but I would be looking for someone who has some inbuilt scoring ability. You look at some of their earlier picks, I think like Bilal Coulibaly a couple years ago, that's not really someone who was known as a scorer at the time. Very athletic, a lot of potential, but there was a lot to build up there with Bilal as well. And I think the Wizards have built themselves a really solid defensive foundation, eventually, ideally. It hasn't shown itself in the numbers just yet, but a defensive foundation with guys like Saar, Keyshawn George, Coulibaly. And I think that now it's time to maybe take a swing on some upside, maybe some scoring juice. You know, Jordan Poole, how much longer is he going to be on the team? It's tough to see. You know, he's a little bit older than the other young guys. Could he be in a package moving out maybe this summer, maybe next summer? You never know. So, you know, maybe you're looking for someone like a Trey Johnson from Texas, who's this really hyper-athletic scoring guard who can shoot really well. I would be looking for a guard, ideally, but again, this is not a team that can position itself, can look for positional. No one on this team has cemented themselves to the point that the Wizards can do anything but take best player overall. I think that they should just take the best player available who also has the highest upside.
Yeah, I 110% agree with you. It's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how this all ultimately plays out. But The one thing I think remains true here is the Wizards still looking to fulfill that defensive identity, is how I would put it, Varun. Kaman Maluach at six is someone that would be very intriguing to me because of what it provides you with. The opportunity to have one of the best young defensive front courts in the NBA. And when I look at the combination of Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren in OKC, and how well those two are able to play off of each other, how much on the Wizards' radar do you think Maluach is right now?
I think he's definitely got to be on the radar to some degree. He's someone who could go in that spot. I'm personally a little reticent. That requires, I said that no one has cemented their position enough to draft based on position, but I think bigs are one position where it's tough to have two of them on the floor. And I think with Alex Saar, he played a lot of five last year. Late in the season, they tried experimenting with him playing the four, but he's got to get a lot better as a shooter for him to be a viable power forward in the NBA. And right now, that's just, there's a lot of projection needed for that. And I think in that first year, we would see him and Maluach playing together could be untenable unless Saar comes back with a drastically improved three-point jumper.
But here's the thing that I would look at. With what Saar showed last year as a passer out of the short role, knowing how Flag and Maluach played with each other at Duke, I could see that being offensive fireworks, man. It almost reminds me of, like, obviously Maluach not as skilled, but I don't know. Bad example. I was going to say AD and Boogie Cousins, but obviously Maluach is not as skilled offensively as Boogie Cousins is, but just the
and Alex Saar is not AD, man.
Right. But you see what I'm saying there. If my thing is, that would be the ideal big pairing. I see a lot of folks clamoring for Derek Queen. I look at the identity that Washington is trying to establish defensively, and I just think the concerns about Queen are, does the motor run hot consistently enough, and is he a willing defender? And I just think those are two questions that the Wizards probably should not have about you if they're going to take you, knowing what they want that identity to be.
Yeah, I think the Wizards are very big on the person being important. I don't know Queen personally. I think he had a pretty really good season at Maryland. I think he allayed some questions about the motor. It was less of a concern than people initially thought. The one thing for me with Queen is he's not a great athlete when you look at the testing numbers. And the Wizards have historically prioritized athleticism as a fundamental part of their top pick, with Saar and Coulibaly in particular. They've been willing to bend that a little bit more the further down you get in the draft. I think, Keyshawn George is not an incredible athlete, but, they were willing to take a swing on him, I think, at 24. But can you do that at six? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Can you do it at six? You mentioned Alex Saar, Varun, and I think he deserves a ton of credit for how he bounced back from summer league. I thought there was a lot of criticism towards him based off of how he left Vegas. I know you just put out a piece in the Washington Post doing a season in review, and I'll retweet
just on
that.
Social media, but yeah.
Just on social media, and I'll retweet the thread at NELL_BTP for you all to see. And it is at by Varun Shankar. That is BYVARUNSHANKAR. To get the latest from Varun, who covers the Wizards for the Washington Post. In your season in review for Alex Saar, Varun, what was probably the most glaring thing that stood out to you?
Glaring good or glaring bad?
Give us both. We're a neutral party. We're equal opportunity radio station.
Let's go glaring good first. I think the glaring good, he showed a wide variety of potential skills. He's, he can block shots. He can play on the perimeter. I think the defensive versatility with him is going to be maybe his calling card for the next few years. I think you saw flashes on offense with some of the passing, some of what he did in short roll, like you talked about, but also late in the season, they gave him a couple pick and rolls a game. It was mostly ugly, but there are a couple nice flashes here and there that you can be intrigued by. The bad, I think the shot blocking was very impressive for him as a rookie. I am still a bit concerned about the overall defensive impact he has at the rim. He did not profile in his first year statistically in the same way that the elite rim protectors, I think of someone like Wembanyama, I think of Chet Holmgren, I think of Evan Mobley, or Jaren Jackson Jr. around the league have in their first year. There are some mitigating factors for that. I think the Wizards' defense, for one, was perimeter defense was a lot worse than a lot of the other young big men who've come into the league, and that helps. But, you know, I think for Sarr to be the kind of defensive player that the Wizards need him to be, he needs to improve as a rim protector. And maybe that's where someone like Malawak could be helpful for the Wizards, and it kind of allows a little more interchangeability. But that's something I'm really keeping an eye on. And then, of course, he was just really bad from three, and then really bad getting to and finishing at the rim. He's just got to improve at that if he wants to become a consistent scorer.
I agree for the most part. I think the overarching point that you made is he showed a wide variety of different skills, and I think that will help him moving forward. He looks like, if I'm being real, looking at their young core, I think him and Bub Carrington right now are scrapping for their two best young pieces, in my opinion. We'll be curious to see what type of jump Bub makes this summer. Real quick, Vernus, we got to let you go. What do you think this summer league roster is comprised of?
You obviously are going to see at least, you know, whoever they draft in the first round and second round this year. I would be, you know, will they walk out of the draft with three rookies? I would not be surprised if they walked out with two rookies rather than three, you know, if one pick is packaged or something like that. So you'll see them. I do think you'll see the rookies from last year. If you look at Oklahoma City's history, where Will Dawkins and Michael Winger come from, you've seen that a lot of the young players spend 2 years in summer league. So I think that that's something you could see. Bilal didn't do it last year because of the Olympics. Or I think he didn't do it because of the Olympics. And so you might see those three rookies. So that's something I'm really keeping an eye on, because if the rookies from this past year, Alex, Bub, and Keyshawn, are the guys that the Wizards want them to be, they need to have a great summer league and really kind of establish themselves as too good for summer league.
For sure. Appreciate you as always, my friend, giving us some time. We will do it again soon. Continue to grind the tape as we get geared up for the draft, my friend.
Of course. Have a good one.
That is Varun Shankar. Make sure you give him a follow by Varun Shankar on the old X app and follow his work at thewashingtonpost.com. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, get you up to speed on the latest with Knicks and Pacers next on The Fan. The route is on at the world's most famous arena, a 50-36 lead for the New York Knicks over the Indiana Pacers as the Knicks try and keep their season alive, down 3-1 at home. This is the type of effort I expected to see from Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves last night. Back against the wall, us versus you, us versus the world mentality, and you just didn't see that last night from Minnesota, as they were held to just 9 points in that opening quarter. But the Knicks, as I say all the time, you can't fake desperation. And they are clearly the more desperate team between them and Indiana. I think it's good for basketball if this thing goes a little bit longer too, right? We would have a nice long break before the NBA Finals, before we got to see some good hoop again. I am fascinated to see how a couple of guys get acclimated into this basketball game. Tyrese Halliburton has got 2 points as we get ready to wrap up the opening half here. And the difference I like tonight for New York is they've already gone 9 guys deep. They've already got 4 guys off the bench. 2 former Wizards, DeLone Wright, Landry Shamet, giving them excellent minutes. And then the combo of Deuce McBride and Josh Hart. Josh Hart continuing to come off of the bench, but to this point has played more minutes than his replacement in the starting lineup, talking about Mitchell Robinson. So hopefully the Knicks can hold on. I am rooting for the Knicks tonight. I am. Personally, as I led the show with, personally, I want to see a Pacers and Thunder finals because I think it's great for the NBA. I think it's great to put, you know, 2 budding young stars on that massive stage, talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Halliburton. I think as far as what is next for the NBA postseason, I think it's very clear that this series is probably over. Oklahoma City, in terms of what they have to do in the finals, one, you got to win. But I think style points could alter the conversation here around OKC. As I mentioned, like, this is genuinely, and I know people are going to roll their eyes, and I can't stand, this is going to sound mean, I can't stand when older people disrespect today's game. There's nothing that pisses me off more than hearing someone say, oh, the game today is soft and they couldn't play it.
They're all lazy now.
Yeah, you know, just enjoy the hoops, man. It's the same concept. Grown-ass men playing a children's game for millions of dollars. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Rules have changed, yes. Play style has changed, yes. But that's the world, man. Everything has evolved in this world. From technology to how we communicate with others, period. So if you didn't think that the sport was going to evolve either, then you're crazy. The thing about OKC that I think really needs to be talked about, they have the best point differential all time in the regular season. Like, that's not just something that you just toss out there and it doesn't mean anything to anybody. They were whipping ass in the Western Conference this past year. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the forefront of it all. At the forefront of it all. And I gave you the numbers on him to start the show. I still honestly can't believe it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, throughout the regular season and the postseason, has scored the most points by any player entering the finals since Michael Jordan back in 1992. Let me read that again. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has totaled 2,960 points this season. That's regular season and playoffs. It is the most by any player entering the finals since Jordan in 93. So, look, what do you want from my guy? What do you want from my guy? What do you want from my guy? Now, it ranks fourth all time behind Wilt Chamberlain in 63, Rick Barry 66, Jordan in that 92-93 season. But it just goes to show you how special of a season it has been for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I will continue to say it. He is now the face of the NBA, in my opinion. I don't think there is much conversation that should be had about that. When we come back, we'll toss things over to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. But I do want to let you hear from Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander one more time as they spoke postgame. Two guys with completely different tones, and it feels like two superstars going in opposite directions. We'll put a bow on this show next. This is The Fan. One final segment to go before we hand things over to Charlie Sloan and Dave Jagler. They're bringing our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. Knicks up 11 entering the locker room, 56-45, as they try to keep their season alive at home at the world's most famous arena. Can they get it done is the question for the old Knickerbockers. Couple of statistical notes for you. Karl Anthony Towns leading all scores. He's got 17 and 10 in the first half. Jalen Brunson with 14 points. And for the Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton is just 0 of 3. Hadn't shot it enough. Pascal Siakam's got 9. Miles Turner's got 5, but simply not enough. Benedict Mathurin giving them good minutes off the bench. He really came alive in game number 4, and I'm happy for him that he is picking up where he left off here in this elimination game for the Indiana Pacers. This finals, if it is what I expect it to be, talking about Thunder and Pacers, these are two deep teams. Two teams that are both playing 9-10 guys. You don't normally see that in the NBA postseason. Traditionally, these rotations usually shrink, but not for Indiana and not for Oklahoma City. I think right now, maybe I'm tripping. I told you we would get through some top 10 player rankings here. Bill Simmons of The Ringer put together his top 10 players in the NBA, and I actually disagree with this. He's got Nikola Jokic as the best player in basketball. I think the debate is pretty obvious. It's between the Joker and SGA. But the first, here's some numbers that are going to piss people off. 5 out of his top 6 players in the NBA are European guys. He's got Victor Wembanyama as the 6th best player in the NBA. He's got Luka Doncic as the 5th best player. Anthony Edwards, 4th. Giannis, 3rd. SGA, 2nd. Nikola Jokic, 1st. So, first of all, putting Wemby over Steph Curry at this point is kind of ludicrous to me. If I'm being honest, he's got Tyrese Halliburton as the 9th best player. He's got Jalen Brunson as the 10th best player. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this, but maybe we'll do that tomorrow, because I'm back with you tomorrow night here on Overtime. Not enough time for me to get into all of this right now, so we'll react to this Bill Simmons list, but you really think that Tyrese Halliburton's a top 9 player? I knew when I made the comment that I made, Chris, that I would get someone to come out of the woodworks and be upset. Chris in D.C., I am a fan of yours, so I hope you're a fan of mine. You're going to call this age of NBA soft, huh?
Yeah, brother, it's soft. In 2003, when the game changed, it got soft, brother. You know, but I know you don't understand that because it's only been 27 years. But listen, man, yeah. When they changed the Iverson rules,
mm-hmm.
That made the game softer, brother.
Yeah.
That's so. The flopping wasn't there before that.
That's the one thing.
It was an evolution. It was a de-evolution.
Let me ask you this, because there are a couple of things that piss me off.
I got a son that's your age. So
really? Okay. So there are a couple of things that tick me off about this modern day and age basketball. You know, the number one thing is that probably angers me, and I want to ask you this as someone that was watching it with a keen eye in the early 2000s and the late 90s. Were guys berating officials the way that they are now? Were guys complaining the way that they are now?
Barkley did.
Saying Barkley did?
I mean, you got to look at KJ, Kevin Johnson, maybe. But, you know, Barkley was cussing out the officials. Yeah, they were throwing people through plate glass windows. Jordan used to cuss out every ref, but he wasn't crying like Luka. Yeah. He wasn't doing all these crying like Caitlin Clark and all this stuff. Nobody lobbied to the ref like that back in the day.
That's probably the number one thing that annoys me. And I get to watch Wizards basketball up close in person as I cover them. I got season credentials. I'm on the floor whenever I choose to be out there. One thing, and they're a young, impressionable team, right, Chris?
But even when Chris Webber was there and Juwan was there and Calvert Chaney was there, they weren't, we weren't crying. They weren't crying in the Wizards.
I'm speaking to it's the impact and the consequences of crying to the official that annoys me. You know how angry I would be as a coach if my guy is arguing a call and his guy sprints to the corner and hits a transition three all because he wouldn't shut the hell up?
Hey, I used to watch him do the crying at Montrose Christian. I used to watch the crying going on all over.
So did your son hoop growing up?
My son hooped. My son played football. Football.
Where did you play football
myself with Jonathan Ogden. I played football at St. Albans.
Oh, so you played with okay. So where did your son play at?
Yeah, my son played over at IMG Academy in Florida.
Oh, so who your son, Chris? God,
we got. Yeah, it runs in the family.
Okay, I'm about to say, good
generational.
Lord.
It's generational.
I'm just a wee public school lad, brother. IMG. Nah, good Lord.
You came out of public school. You had to get the.
I had to take my lumps, man. I played at Magruder High School.
Hell yeah, we know Magruder real well. Georgia Magruder.
Come on, man. Everybody knows it. Dan Harwood's still at Magruder. Dan Harwood's been at Magruder for 30 plus years. So it's been a while for my man. Chris, I appreciate you chiming in as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother. For sure. 1-800-636-1067. And Chris in DC has caught me before. He never took gatekeeping, what we call it, right? Chris gatekeeping. His son may be a pro for all we know. You play at IMG, you turn into somebody. I didn't know Chris himself, though, played with Jonathan Ogden. There's so many of you out there, and I give y'all hell as a fan base, because some of y'all, Chris is in the 1%. It's the 1% that I like to call y'all. Chris is in that. Some of y'all sound like damn fools when you call up here. But those of you that have clearly, it's very clear and obvious when I get a caller that has played organized sports at some level before, and compared to the ones who didn't. Because there's some little intricacies and nuances of the game that you just wouldn't get. That's why last year, I mean, I was on it from week two. The Commanders' run defense was ass. And no one realized it. Not that no one realized it. No one knew who to blame. No one knew who to look for. This year, it's my number one concern. And I feel like I've just jumped all across and went on a tangent. But y'all know how I get down. I'm a big of a fan as anybody out there, but I'm going to keep it real. And as good as I think Washington will be this year, the number one thing I'm looking at is, can they stop the run? That's going to do it, though, for the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. Plenty of me over the next couple of days. Back with you 6:30 to 9:10 right here on The Fan tomorrow night. Nats baseball comes your way next as they try to take 2 out of 3 versus the Seattle Mariners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.